Please turn with me again, please, to that portion we read together a little earlier, Ephesians chapter 3. With our Bibles open, we'll seek God's help and prayer in the time remaining to us. Our gracious Father, we need now that help and ministry of thy Holy Spirit to bring to our hearts that blessed word from God. We ask that thou grant to us hearts that are open and receptive to thy truth. We think of the parable that our Savior told, of the four types of soil in which the seed fell, the hardened pathway from which the birds could steal away that good seed. We think of the stony ground that was shallow, that though it grew for a while, it wilted away because it had no depth. We think of some that fell amongst thorns, that was choked with all of the cares of this world. We know that our hearts are often like these soils, closed to the word of God, shallow in its reception of thy truth, choked up with many a care. Oh, we pray for hearts like the good ground, open and receptive to thy truth, that the good seed of the gospel might fall therein and spring on to life eternal, and oh, that we might bring forth much fruit for the glory and honor of thy name. We ask our Father that thou be pleased to bless us this day in thy presence. These things we ask in our Savior's name. Amen. I thought perhaps before I brought the message of the Lord's name in my heart this morning that I'd share a little of what I said in the churches back in Northern Ireland. Well, there was a media presentation that was shown. And we'll perhaps show that some night at the prayer meeting. The people were very keen to know what was happening here in Kingston, what the other churches in the area were like. And the presentation, you'll hear for yourselves, but it finishes with these words: we can't compete with other local churches when it comes to entertainment. Not that we would want to. No rock bands blasting out their so-called worship songs. No bouncy castles to entertain the children while parents attend the services. No clowns or jugglers or local celebrities. No 10-minute homilies to make people feel good about themselves and where nobody is offended. We don't do church like others around us. We sing old hymns and psalms. We read from an old Bible. Our pulpit is still in the centre of the church and not pushed off to the side to make way for the band stage. But we preach the gospel in season and out of season, and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And Christ is preached in all his fullness to men in all their need. We will never be the most popular church, and we're not trying to be. We want to be the most faithful and loving and obedient and Christ-exalting church that we can. And then I finish with these words of conclusion. When I think of the little work in Kingston, the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians come to mind: the love of Christ constraineth us. My heart is with the faithful few, who for too long were like a sheep without a shepherd. The words of Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 come to mind and to always bring a challenge: whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I believe that the Lord has yet a people in the Kingston area, and his sheep will hear his voice and follow him. And we must do our part and go out and find them and point them to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What I intend to do this morning is to preach a message that I might have preached a fortnight ago had this been a New Year's Day service, a model text for the year. And it's the verses 20 and 21 of Ephesians chapter 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. We've just entered into a new year. We're a few weeks into it now, I suppose, but it's always a good time to reflect on the year that has passed, on the year that lies before us. It's a good time to look backwards, to see what benefits and blessings the Lord has bestowed upon us. Perhaps even to look back on our failures and to plead with God that we might not fall into such again. It's a good time to look forward as we take inventory of our walk with the Lord and what it is that we hope to achieve in the year that lies before us. And we must seek to be pressing onward in our Christian walk. There is a very real danger that if we seek to stand still or to remain where we are, that it is far too easy for us to slip backwards again. We are to be pressing on toward the mark of our high calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not called upon to hold the fort. We are not. So we must either be seeking to press onwards, or else we will be slipping backwards. And it's my desire, I trust that it is yours also, that we seek to build in 2017 upon what has gone before in 2016, in 2015, in 2014, that we're moving on. That the work here in Kingston is not only consolidating, but that it's growing. That is our desire, our hope for the future, that the Lord might be pleased to build his church. So we want to take a close look of where we are in our relationship with the Lord. We want to examine ourselves. Are we all that we ought to be? Have we been doing the things that the Lord would want us to do? Or have we been getting off course? Have we been slipping back into old habits and away from the Lord? Well, a new year gives us opportunity to present that challenge again, to keep going on with the Lord. And in these verses 20 and 21, we find a challenge that with regards to our vision for the future. Now, the church at Ephesus was one that was very dear to the heart of the Apostle Paul. He had ministered amongst them for 3 years. I found a striking parallel there when I thought of my own time here in Kingston. He began back in Acts chapter 19, verse 7, there was only 12 believers. But through his preaching, his ministry, his faithful effort in the gospel, that church experienced amazing growth. And knowing the success that was had in Ephesus, Paul writes to them now, many years later, with a desire that they remain focused upon the Lord and that they keep their priorities correct before God. And so this text remains for us believers today a challenge to keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord, to keep focused upon him. Because it's far too easy for us to allow our circumstances to hinder us in our walk and in our labour for the Lord. We can find many struggles to deal with from day to day. There will be adversity to overcome. There will be difficulties. There will be roadblocks. There will be those who will seek to hinder us. But regardless of where we are or what we are facing, it is upon us to maintain our vision upon the Lord, to strive for his glory and to have a purpose that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ might be built up in these days and that the name of the Lord might be glorified. And so I'd like to deal with that subject this morning. A vision of purpose. Now, what is the source of our vision? Verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." In case there is any doubt, Paul reminds them that their dependence must be upon the Lord. God alone is their source of strength. God alone must be their wisdom. God alone must be the supplier of every grace. He has provided for their redemption when the Savior died upon the cross. As he rose triumphant from the grave, he provided them with justification and eternal life. And every blessing that they enjoy has come from his hand. And if they are to continue in their ministry, there must be a continued reliance upon the Lord. And in order for us to be reliant upon the Lord, we must be fully submitted to him. The two go hand in hand. If we are to receive from the Lord, then we must be dependent upon him. We have to be aware of our dependence upon the Lord. He alone provides the resources that we need to continue in the work of the gospel. And we have to say, if it were not for the Lord's strength and for his provision, that we would have nothing to boast. It was the Apostle Paul who reminded us of that. That he had nothing to boast in except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the source of our salvation. He's our hope for the future. He's our strength for every day. Every blessing we enjoy comes from his gracious hand. Every victory that we have experienced is because he is the captain of our faith. Every growth that we have experienced is because he is our husbandman. It is through his diligence in our life that we have grown in the gospel and all. He's the way that we must follow. He's the truth that we must know. He's the life that we must experience. If it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in our life, we would be without hope and without direction. Indeed, we would still be lost in our sins and on our way to a lost eternity. We must never forget that the source of our hope, the source of our vision, is the Lord himself. Paul reminded the church in Rome, saying in chapter 11, verse 36, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Oh, that we would remember that. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. To the Colossians, Paul wrote, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist." Oh, that we would remember that the Lord is the source and supply of our every need. Now, the Apostle Paul goes a little bit further to remind us of the strength that is available to us for this work in the gospel. "Now unto him that is able to do." Paul well understands the limitations of men. There may be the desire to accomplish certain tasks, but the ability is lacking. There may be a desire to do great things for God, but it's beyond our scope, beyond our ability. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. We lack strength, we lack wisdom to accomplish those things that are needed. And no doubt, that we want to see great things accomplished for the Lord. But we have to realize that we cannot do these things ourselves. And so Paul encourages the church to recognize you are not responsible to provide and to sustain the church by yourself. We recognize our weakness, we recognize our lack, but at the same time we recognize that the Lord is strong and able. Now unto Him that is able to do. And that gives us great comfort, great assurance. Yes, we have a burden for the church to grow. We want to be a light in a dark place, a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. We want to be salt and light in our community. We want the gospel of God to shine through us. We want believers to be strengthened. We want the lost to be saved. We want the cold of heart to be restored. And we realize that these are things that are beyond our ability. Our efforts don't build the church. Our work does not save the soul. If it was left to us, there would be no future for this congregation or any other. We'll never reach any potential because the power and the strength is not in us, but there is one in whom strength is strong. One of whom Paul says, unto Him who is able to do. How thankful we ought to be that the church does not rise and fall upon our ability. That we're not trusting in our strength or in our wisdom. We're not reliant upon a minister at the front of the church to build it. Because, listen, it won't work. If you're relying upon my ability to build the church, you might as well go home. But if we're resting in that supernatural ability of the Lord, the one who is able to do, then there is hope for the future. It was the Savior Himself who said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the great truth that you've just confessed, thou art the Son of the living God, He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How glad we are that Paul could take up that great theme, that being fully persuaded that he that has promised is able also to perform, and being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not our strength that we need, it's God's strength. Him that is able to do. Unless we think that the power of God is not sufficient, we are reminded in this verse 20 that he that is able to do, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There is sufficiency here. The church at Ephesus had faced many challenges and will face many more. Who can be sufficient for these things? Not man, not the preacher. Christ is sufficient. There are countless needs that are impossible for man to meet. But listen, we come to one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Humanly speaking, we cannot change men's hearts. We cannot deliver them from sin. We cannot come to those whose lives have been broken and mend them again. We can't offer words of advice or counsel when people come with questions that are beyond our scope. But there's one who is exceeding abundantly able to do those things. And Paul encourages them to rest in the sufficiency of Christ. He can accomplish In fact, he can accomplish more than you can possibly imagine. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask for. Just look at those terms for a moment. Consider them. He's able to do exceeding. He's able to surpass any request that you have. He's able to go beyond the limitations of your imagination. He is able to overcome every difficulty that you can imagine. He is able to do exceeding. He's able to do exceeding abundantly. And there we have the idea of David's cup overflowing. There is more than enough. The Lord is able to do beyond what we can ever ask. He's able to supply the need and much more. In fact, he tells us that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I wonder, are there times that we come to the Lord in prayer? There will be things that we'll ask the Lord because there are things that we think that he's able to do. But we'll ask the Lord to do these things because, well, they seem that within his grasp, within his power. Paul says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think. You see, there are things that we think that we would like to see happen, but we think, no, that's not possible. It's beyond the capabilities, beyond the realms of what we are able to ask for. No, it's not, said Paul. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask, and all that you can imagine, all that you can think. Just stop and consider that for a moment. There have been times and occasions in our lives where we have sought God to meet a certain need, or to grant us his power in a certain situation, because we have lacked the ability to make it happen, and we've come to the Lord and asked for his help. But what about the times where you thought that even those things are too much to ask? That he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able to exceed your wildest dreams. There's not a situation or circumstance that we can bring onto the Lord that is beyond his power, is what Paul has reminded us. And while it may be impossible with us, it is possible for him. Indeed, he reminds us in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 that I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Do we have a burden for a loved one that's not saved? We think to ourselves they're so hard to the things of the gospel. They're so closed off that they don't even want to hear. They've stopped us from speaking of Christ. They've shut us down every time we've sought to witness to them. What can we do? We can bring them to the Lord, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. It's the Lord that has the power to soften the hearts and to change the mind and to redeem the life. Don't think that God is reliant upon our words to save the soul. You have a loved one that you want to see. God is able to do exceeding abundantly. You want to see the church prosper and grow. You want to see new families added. You want to see souls saved. You want to see believers strengthened. It's not in our power, it's in God's power. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Perhaps the Lord is leading us down a pathway that seems to us to be fraught with danger and difficulty, and we're thinking, no, Lord, it's impossible. But he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. through our abilities, these things might be unattainable, but through Christ, nothing is impossible. It has been well said that we should ask great things of God and attempt great things for God, because He is able. He is able to do. He is able to do exceeding abundantly. Indeed, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Now, how does the Lord provide these deeds? How does He provide the strength, the supply of every grace? According to the power that worketh in us. While Paul has been emphasizing this truth of the ability of God to do over and above all that we could ask or think, he reminds us that he carries out these things through the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. And that is both amazing and challenging and almost impossible for us to comprehend. As we come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and salvation, God's Holy Spirit takes up residence within us. We are a temple then unto the Lord. His Spirit is with us wherever we go. It is with us in every encounter and circumstance that we have in this life. That blessed person of the third person of the Trinity abiding within us. The power that worketh in us. I came across an interesting quote when I was preparing this message. It says, "We cannot do it without Him, and He will not do it without us." God makes His power known, His grace known, His salvation known, His ability known, according to the power that worketh in us. Is that not a sobering thought? That while we lack the ability to perform any good thing apart from the Lord, that we are dependent upon His strength and grace and mercy for everything, yet the Lord desires us to join Him in the effort and in the endeavor. In other words, we don't simply bring the request to the Lord and sit back and wait for Him to fulfill it. He will provide the resources and the power through the Spirit that worketh in us. God just doesn't hand out blessings and provisions. He wants to work through us to accomplish His divine will. He offers us a glorious opportunity to engage with Him in the work of the gospel. Indeed, we are told in the Scriptures that we are laborers together with Him. So when we are praying for that loved one, when we are praying for our outreach, when we are praying for our evangelism, when we are praying for souls to be saved and the church to be built, God answers those prayers according to the power that worketh in us. He works through us. We become His hands to work with, His feet to go with, His mouth to speak with, His heart to love with. We are God's to use. The Savior reminded us of this in John 15 in verse 4. He said, "Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me ye can do nothing." God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Are through us. We are His workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. The Lord desires great things for us individually and corporately as the Church of Jesus Christ. He has a plan and purpose for our lives. He wants us to join Him in the work, to bring forth much fruit. We cannot simply come with a shopping list to God and say, here are the things that I want you to get for me. The Lord provides these things by working in us and through us. We join Him in that labor. We are a tool in the Master's hand. And our reason for putting ourselves into the hands of God to be used as He will, well, that we might be able to say with verse 21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Paul desired the church at Ephesus to understand the purpose of all this, their dependence on the Lord, of His work being carried out through them, with one single goal in mind, to bring glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And as we embrace that great truth, as we strive to fulfill it, that all glory might be brought unto Jesus Christ, that will motivate us, that will inspire us, when we realize just how worthy our God is to be worshipped. We will make it our business then to make Him known in all the world, in order that all glory might be brought unto Him. How terrible that there are multitudes around us that know nothing of our Savior, that spend their whole life without knowing God, without loving Him, without serving Him, without ever praising Him. The psalmist reminds us, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Oh, that all that's done may be for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be willing to offer praise and honor to the Lord for all that He has done for us. That the Lord is pleased to bless this church, that it sees growth in days to come. May it be for the glory of His name. And if loved ones are saved and experience that gift of salvation through the convincing work of the Spirit of God, may it be for the glory of His name. And if the Lord is pleased to use us in the work of His kingdom to bring the light of the gospel to some darkened soul, may it not be for our praise, but for the glory of His name. And if we experience anything of eternal value, any spiritual benefit, may it be for the glory of His name. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I trust that you'll join with me this year, excited at the unlimited possibilities that God has for His people, knowing that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, that we will be fully trusting Him to meet that need, indeed, to do more than we can imagine, in order that He might have all the glory. I trust that 2017 will be a year of rich spiritual blessing for God's people. It will be a year that will undoubtedly bring its challenges and its problems. But we come to one who is able to be exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. May we simply be able to put ourselves in the hands of God. And say, not my will, but Thy will be done. Placing ourselves at His disposal to use as He will for the glory of His name. Let's bow in prayer. Gracious Father, we do pray for Thy blessing upon us now. We realize that without Thee we can do nothing.
And so we pray that thou please, by thy Spirit who indwells us, to work through us for the great glory of thy being. May we have no other ambition but to make known the Lord Jesus Christ in all the world, in order that every person, man, woman, and child, might bring praise and worship unto him who died for our sins. May they not be found amongst those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, but may there be many in this Kingston area and indeed further beyond that will come and bow the knee unto the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize and know him as Lord and Savior. We ask these things in thy precious name. Amen.